You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg alongside Spike Friedman. You can find us both on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. You can find the show's Twitter at Locked Seahawks. You can find some of Spike's work on The Stranger. And you can find some other sports coverage by me with Forum Blue and Gold. Spike, we're going to get away from the other sports. This is the Seattle Seahawks football podcast. And yeah. I was a little bit worried we weren't going to have a lot of stuff to talk about today, but things happened. I'll start with that. A lot of news.
New coordinator on defense, new offensive line coach. It's a big day, and none of it is thrilling. I think we need to lay that out up front. I don't think any of it is a reason to be either particularly excited or despair.
Right. It's sort of how I feel. It's very vanilla.
Yeah, exactly. It is maintain the status quo. If anything, return to maybe a previous version of the status quo, which is even more boring. But hey, you know, there are worse things than returning to 2012 Pete Carroll.
Right. No, I'll start off the show, and this is not what we're going to get into first, but I'll mention that, you know, Pete Carroll, it seems like he's surrounding himself with his guys and guys that he's familiar with and kind of assuming full control of really everything that has to do with the coaching staff, and so we're gonna see really a product of Pete Carroll going on these next couple of years. But yeah. Something else happened during the weekend. Actually, we heard about it this morning. But Jeremy Lain was arrested for a DUI, You know, right off the bat, you know, obviously you never want to have your players get arrested or arrested for a DUI. But it seems like there's some underlying information with that. And, you know, Lain, you know, spoke out pretty publicly today on Twitter saying that, you know, people really don't know everything about the situation. Spike, do you have any thoughts right away on this topic?
Yeah, pretty specifically, he said that he blew a .03, which is well under the legal limit if you are above Grant Goldberg's age.
We're getting close. February is coming up.
Yeah. So there's a couple things going on here. One is that Jeremy Lain, for a bunch of reasons, is not the most popular Seahawk. His play has slipped. He's not... He was traded almost this year. He's got a penchant for bad penalties on the field, sort of errors in judgment, but that has nothing to do with this, which is an off the field, maybe not indiscretion. And I think it's worth reserving judgment, especially given what we know about the way policing works in race. The fact that the average black guy in America is getting pulled over at a much higher rate. The fact that they arrested someone who blew not just slightly under the legal limit, but significantly under the legal limit, if we were to take Jeremy Lain at his word. That is representative of a systemic issue in our society in terms of biased policing. And like, again, this is a football podcast, and because of the role football is playing in society and because of the politicization of everything in society, we delve into politics a little more often than maybe some of you would want. But I think it's really important to be like, hey, let's set aside our negative feelings about Jeremy Lain. Let's set aside the sort of, you got to keep it clean off the field, and be like, hey, if he really did blow a .03 and got pulled over and then arrested for it,
that's messed up.
That's like messed up. And that's not the sort of thing that would happen to the average white person. It's not the sort of thing that would happen to a lot of people in this country. And so it's going to turn out to be disappointing no matter what. But if Jeremy Lain is telling the truth, then it's disappointing to see him as essentially a victim in this situation.
Right.
I just wanted to sort of say all that because it's not... The initial reaction, because he's Jeremy Lain, is like, oh, but we saw it on the field earlier this year. We got ejected for punching a guy, and then the replay showed he didn't do it. Right. Like, Jeremy Lain, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, I, I, I know, like you said, this isn't a political podcast by any standards, but it's something that's going on in America today, and it involves a Seattle Seahawk, and so it's worth mentioning, and it's worth mentioning just from a human perspective. And if you guys do follow either one of us on Twitter, you know that I pretty much wholeheartedly agree with what Spike is saying, and therefore I don't have much to offer in this conversation. So, yeah, I don't think that we got too off topic with that. I think that it's relevant and it needs to be said. So before we get into really the big stuff of the show, we're gonna take a short break and then get back to you with the rest. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And the biggest piece of news probably is that the Seahawks filled their defensive coordinator position, and it's with a name that I honestly didn't expect to see, being that Ken Norton Jr. signed a contract with the 49ers this offseason to become their linebackers coach, but apparently that contract had an out in it, and the 49ers came out and said that they realized, that Norton wants, what kind of coach Norton is, and he wants to accomplish bigger things in a bigger role, and so they let him out of the contract, and he is now the defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. Spike, Pete Carroll has surrounded himself with a person that he's familiar with from way back, all the way to his USC days.
Yeah, so I want to give a little credit to this hire, because I think there's some pretty obvious reasons why it's not exciting, but I'm going to say this, is that Pete Carroll has a scheme that he runs. He has a way he coaches up D-backs. And we know that no matter what we bring in a defensive coordinator, the fundamentals of this defense are going to stay effectively the same, most likely. I mean, it would have been crazy to expect a different outcome. And with Ken Norton, people were saying, oh, Pete's bringing in a yes man because he's not the schemer that Chris Richard is. And that's probably true. But I don't think it's just bringing in a yes man. I think we are underrating the importance of the degree to which a coordinator communicates to the players more than anybody else. And I wonder if the reason Pete brought Ken back is because Ken has done a really good job getting through to our players. And we've seen some issues with discipline this year with all of the penalties. And we've seen, fights on the side of the field over the last 2 years. And we've seen those sort of lack of discipline issues. And I wonder if that is the reason Norton is being brought in rather than to be some sort of yes man, which is like, I think that is being unfair to Ken Norton Jr., who he was really bad this year too, though.
Yeah,
like,
no, he was,
do we want to dive in? Do we want to dive into what the Raiders defense is?
I will do a shallow dive into the Raiders defense.
Great.
And I'll keep it at this. Ken Norton Jr.'s Raiders were 32nd in DVOA. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. Yeah, okay, great.
As far as a player's perspective.
Just to be clear, there are 32 teams in the NFL.
Right, yes. For perspective, it's 32nd out of 32 teams in the National Football League, which is not great by any standards. Getting back to the point of the player's perspective and having a guy in that building, for the players, it's great. I know that he has a great reputation with the players. Players love him. And it was, I think, Corbin Smith on Twitter, who's actually a great follower. He does great breakdowns on video. He was saying that, this year and last year more than any year in the Pete Carroll era, we saw those sideline outbursts more than any year. And so that's something that I know that, Pete Carroll always wants to compete, and having that competitive fire within your team is pretty essential to having a successful football team. But not to that extent. And Pete Carroll's been on the record saying that plenty of times. And
penalties again, man. Yeah, the penalties.
Norton should do a better job of composing his guys. That said,
I guess we are hiring the Raiders defensive coordinator, which historically is not how you cut down on penalties.
Right.
But after our season, anything will cut down on penalties.
It seems like they want a guy to kind of hit home with his players and kind of have them be an embodiment of his philosophy. And Ken Norton, he's, like I said, he's really likable, and hopefully, it was more of a product of, you know, the talent in front of him, although he had the defensive player of the year in Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And a couple other good pieces, but you know, here's to hoping, you know, it can only get better from here.
Norton. For Ken Norton, it's only going to get better. And again, Pete's the architect of the defense.
Yeah,
and so
it kind of shows with this hire that he's going to be calling some signals from this defense.
Yeah, or I mean, again, it's just not thrilling. It's not thrilling, but there's no reason to despair over this hire, even except for the 32nd place thing.
All right.
That's not exactly what we wanted to be saying when we hired a guy. It's like, oh, we don't need to wallow in the depths of despair.
Yeah, let's see. I have something to kind of compare it to, and I don't know how well it's going to hit home with everybody, but I have this comparison, and it's with the movie Semi-Pro. So Jackie Moon was the coach of the Flint Tropics, obviously. For those that who haven't seen Semi-Pro, Jackie Moon's the coach, player, owner of the Flint Tropics. And midway through the season, they bring in Monix, who's a point guard, and they have him coach the team from an X's and O's perspective and have Will Ferrell kind of be like that morale guy and that the promoter. So I liken Ken Norton Jr. to Jackie Moon and Pete Carroll as the Monix behind the defense.
Okay, yeah. I haven't seen Semi-Pro, which this is the first time we sort of had a role reversal on who has or hasn't seen a movie. So, you know.
It's on HBO Go.
Okay.
It's accessible, so if you end up watching it,
let me
know.
I like a lot of people in it. It's got Maura Tierney. It's got Andy Daly, who's the best. Guys, Andy Daly's the best. Rob Corddry, Will Arnett. Oh, yeah.
Will Arnett is great in that movie. I'll stop the Semi-Pro talk after that. But
yeah.
That's my comparison between the two guys, and we're gonna talk about the new Seahawks offensive line coach right after this break, so stay tuned.
And we are back with the Andy Daly pilot project. Just kidding! It's Locked On Seahawks. I'm Spike Friedman alongside Grant Goldberg. I'm just glad we got to talk about Andy Daly. And for those of you who are not familiar with him and his work, watch the TV show Review. On Hulu. I don't know why I'm promoting it on this podcast, but it's just my favorite little watched Comedy Central show of the last couple of years. It's very dark humor.
And Andy Daly is actually the new Seahawks offensive line coach. It was just released today.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh, I'd be so stoked about that, even though I don't think he'd be great at it. All right, who is the actual Seahawks line coach, Grant?
Okay, it's Mike Solari, and he's actually a guy that, you know, Seattle Seahawks fans should be familiar with, being that he coached the offensive line for the Seahawks in 2008. Right off the bat, I will say that it's another Pete Carroll guy. It's another guy he's familiar with from Pete Carroll's San Francisco days. And word was that Solari was a guy that Pete Carroll wanted to retain when he assumed power in Seattle. Spike, do you have any memories that lasted from Solari's last term in Seattle, or any feelings about this hire right off the top of your head?
Not really, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, there was sort of that lull between the best of the Tom Cable units and the great units in the mid-aughts. But the Seahawks offensive line was fine back then. You know, we didn't ever have a bad offensive line until these past 2 years, like bad. And so the fact that I don't remember the offensive line isn't the worst thing in the world. I'll put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, an offensive line that is unmemorable, it's not great, but it's also not getting your quarterback killed. And after what we went through these last 2 years, there are worse things, and it's getting your quarterback killed, and we saw that.
Yeah, no, we saw what an injured Russell Wilson can do for the Seahawks offense in comparison to a fully healthy Russell Wilson. And I'll go with a healthy Russell Wilson 10 out of 10 times. So, budding thoughts for me, right off the top of my head, he's not Tom Cable, which is a positive. There's going to be more of a variety in the run game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not Tom Cable. That's the thing I keep coming back to.
Our system was so weird, and we valued athleticism so much more than technique that it'll be, I mean, this to me, it's like, I can't judge this. I just think it's going to be fascinating. Like, where do we go? Like, what moves do we make? Like, who sticks around? Who leaves? I mean, you know, Dwayne Brown's sticking around. You assume Ethan Posick's sticking around. Justin Britt, there's an out in his contract. He might not stick around. Jermaine Ifedi, I mean, it would be crazy to cut loose with him altogether, but who knows? Who knows if this guy's going to want George Fant? I mean, you know, like, we could have continuity at only two of the five spots on the line.
Right. There's still so much that remains to be seen. Like, this, obviously, we're not going to see these guys play football for a few months, but so it's going to be speculation season. But to me, this doesn't seem like the home run hire that I was mentioning on yesterday's show. And, you know, I'll repeat what I said about it yesterday, that the Seahawks probably have their best crop of offensive linemen since their Super Bowl win. And so we'll have to see what he does with it. And like you said, you know, who knows who will be back. But, you know, we'll have Dwayne Brown, which is a good thing. And, you know, Ethan Posick showed some good stuff during his rookie year. He probably should have played more, but, you know, the fact that he got on field at all was a good thing. And Justin Britt hopefully sticks around, and we'll see what happens with the other guys. I think that there's still, you know, if we can cut down on the penalties with the Fetty, there's still talent. Obviously, he's a first round pick, but yeah, a lot remains to be seen. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun and wild few months, I feel.
Yeah, I'm like very excited to see that aspect of the offense come together. I'm nervous about the passing game because I feel like I kind of like Darrell Bevell's feast or famine stuff. You know, we had so many cool highlights over the Russell Wilson era that I'm a little nervous about Brian Schottenheimer's implementation of the passing game. But, like, given what the running game has looked like since Marshawn was gone, variety is going to make our lives much more fun and good. So that's where I'm at.
There's a lot because A, they still have to draft a bunch of guys. I think that, one, they'll move back in the first round and amass a couple more picks, so we see even more bodies fill up the room in Seattle. And we'll see what they do with these guys. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, it's going to be tough for the Seahawks to bring Jimmy Graham back at an affordable price, so we're probably not going to be seeing that. So we're going to have to see a replacement at tight end, especially if Luke Wilson goes too. And so who they bring in that sense and what Schottenheimer does with him. And so there's a lot of aspects. It correlates, obviously, because, you know, they're new players and a new coaching staff. But we're going to be seeing, I don't know if this is correct in me saying this, but a completely different Seattle Seahawks team. I mean, in the makeup of it, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Did we run through it all?
I think we covered it. I mean, is there anything?
This is the part of the podcast that happens like every week. We run through all the news and then we're like, did we cover everything?
Yeah, exactly.
It happens every show, but I think we covered it. And I think there was so much stuff, and we thought we were going to be talking for a lot longer than we have been. And so we're kind of surprised that we talked about it as fast as we did. But we have another day this week to talk about this stuff at more of a length. So make sure you stick around this week with Locked On Seahawks.
Yeah. Guys, always stick around. Always leave five-star reviews. More and more five-star reviews every day. Every day leave one. Follow us on Twitter, why not? Or quit Twitter and friend us on Instagram. I guess. I don't know if Grant has an Instagram. Are we Instagram friends, Grant?
I have an Instagram. I didn't know you had one. So we're finding out new things on this show.
Wow. Didn't know I had one. It's all dog and cat pictures.
That's right. It's all pictures of me and my girlfriend.
You got to get some more dogs. Don't you have dogs?
I currently in my house, I have four dogs.
That's so many dogs.
Which is more possibly than returning Seahawks offensive linemen. So
good way to nail it. I think we got to leave on that note. You nailed it. Oh man, your account is private. Wow. My account is right there.
See, I'm a little bit more selective of who I have following me.
all right.
But we'll get back to you with another show this week.
We'll be back on Thursday. Yeah, we might do a mailbag. We might do a guest. Well, it's going to be great either way.
We might just break down each other's Instagrams.
Yeah.
But
I don't think we're quite there yet. I think we'll wait till like mid-February to break down each other's Instas.
We're still feeling ourselves out, and we still you know, have a lot more stuff to talk about besides our social media accounts. So for Grant Goldberg and the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, also signing off.